Be done. John 15, verses 1 through 7. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we look into God's Word. And the Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand your word today. I pray it would be our desire to abide in you, to be connected to you, to get our strength, our wisdom, our ability directly from you. Lord, bless your people this morning as they've chosen to be here. I pray that each one would have ears to hear the things that you want them to. Guide us in this time, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last week we ended the service with the song that Vance Havner was talking about in a little Bible study that they had, and they had a woman get up and sing, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to Thee. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me safely, gently o'er, to Thy kingdom shore, to Thy shore. Just a closer walk with Thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. And that's a song every one of us are familiar with, and we've heard it sung and possibly sung it ourselves. And I wonder if that's truly our prayer. And I hope that it is our desire that while we are here on this earth, that truly we want to be closer to the Lord in 2016 than we were in 2015, and even more so in 2017. Just a closer walk with Thee. Say that with me. Just a closer walk with Thee. Four things I want us to see from John chapter 15, because Jesus is speaking and the word abide is used over and over. And really, that's what he's talking about in John chapter 15, is a closer walk with Him, staying connected to Him. We're connected to Christ in John chapter 15. We are cleansed by Christ. We are courageous with Christ. And we are commanded by Christ. And I want us to see in just the brief few minutes that we have our connection to Christ. Many times people meet Christ. They are attracted to Him. And they engage in what could only be called, if you will, a casual relationship. And that's sad, but it happens. And I'm afraid that many of us are practicing that casual relationship with Christ. If not so much in this room as a pastor, obviously I'm prejudiced about this crowd. I'd like to think that we're closer, we're better than most Christians out there. But the reality of it is, you and I have brushed shoulders that without question, the relationship with Christ, even if they're a believer, we can recognize is a casual relationship. And someone showed me a clip this week, and I thought it was humorous, and I was thinking about this whole thing. And to me, it illustrates what I'm talking about. So Emily's up in the booth. Emily, I'm ready for our clip. Emily, I'm ready for our clip. Emily, I'm ready for our clip.
Dave, did you say you were going to make dinner? I couldn't remember.
What?
I just wish you'd take some initiative and cook your own dinner for once. I've been at work too, you know. And what, now I get to come home and pack the dishwasher and then unpack the dishwasher and cook dinner and put the washing on. And you know what? I can't continue to live like this because it's not me.
Hey, relax. It's going to be all right.
How?
Here, I'll just show you.
Okay, I've been doing this since you moved in.
See this basket thing? I don't know how it happens, if it's the house or what, but
that any dirty clothes you put in this basket, somehow the next day, they're just clean, folded, and in a perfect pile on your bed.
You're not serious.
I couldn't believe it at first either, but it just keeps happening.
That's why I didn't tell you. I didn't want to jinx it.
You are insane.
Try it, you'll see.
Unless it's only chosen me. See, I don't know.
I can't do this.
No, wait. There's other things too.
Plates, cutlery, pizza boxes, dirty tissues, anything you leave on this coffee table just vanishes overnight. I mean, sometimes I'll see how far I can push this thing, and then sure enough, the next day, it's all gone. It's just vanished. It's magic. No, she wouldn't have left me. This is what I think happened. I heard her get up in the middle of the night to get a drink or something. She must have fallen onto the magic coffee table and just vanished.
Are you insane?
No, he's not insane. I've got the same coffee table at home.
Now that's a great clip, you got to admit. But the reality of it is we don't realize what Christ is putting into our relationship. We think we can do whatever we want, and then whenever the times get tough or whatever we need, we can just talk to our casual partner, Jesus Christ, and he's going to come through for us. And when that doesn't happen, we think, wow, what a lousy God we serve, that whenever I ask him for something, he just doesn't seem to do anything for me. And honestly, we're insane. We're insane. It's a two-way relationship. And just like that couple, one of the things Emily said, well, I don't know. He said, since we moved in. And should we say that? Well, you know what? Sometimes it is like we're just shacking up with Christ, that we're just here. And our desire should be a closer walk with Christ. Not just someone that I can call and say, hey, I'm in a bind here. Will you bail me out? And ignore them until the next bind. But someone that we can truly be connected to and know on an intimate basis. Jesus says in John chapter 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. God is in a process on you. It's not a one-time particular thing that happens and then it's done. It's a process that takes place that when you meet Christ, you are connected to him. As you grow in him, you have not reached your full potential. Do you hear me? You have not reached your full potential. He says, if you're doing good, great. He's going to purge you. He's going to work on you. He's going to prune you. He's going to put you through a process that you will be even more productive than you are right now. Sometimes as we go through that process in the connection, it's not pleasant. I'm connected to Christ, number one. Verse number three says, I am cleansed by Christ. Now you're clean. Now ye are clean. Say that with me. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Cleansed by Christ. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26 is a passage that we often reference at a wedding. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Now you're clean through the word. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This book right here is the greatest scrubbing agent that you'll ever encounter. It is. Now we use the magic eraser at home. And it's those things are, I endorse certain products. I grew up as a Comet man. Always had Comet. Comet does things. It's just wonderful. And if you don't have Comet in your house, then you need to get some. The magic eraser is another thing that if Comet won't take it off, there's something about a magic eraser. It's just a white little pad. But man, oh man, they do, and it does incredible things. You needed a magic eraser. Well, let me tell you something. This isn't magic. But it will clean you like nothing else can. Jesus looked at his disciples as he was speaking to them, and he said, now you are clean. You've been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. We have God's word right here. It's called the Bible. I was talking to someone this week, is a young married, wonderful individual. attends a different church. I am not her pastor. I like to talk to people like that because it gives me a perspective from someone away from here, so that I'd like to know what they are thinking, what attracts them to church, what they're looking for in church. Someone while I was at that house had called me from another church, another pastor, said, "We're experiencing this. What's been your experience?" I know when they hang up after talking to me that they say, "Well, that was a waste of time," because obviously I don't know a great deal about things. But the reality of it is this person I was talking to as a young married, I said, "What is it you're looking for?" And they said they are more looking for more, bottom line, multimedia. They want the video clips. They want the PowerPoint. They want the younger generation says, "I learn by seeing," and they do. We are inundated with images, and I'm not a PowerPoint guy. Honestly, I don't know how, you know, and I have to have my wife do those things for me, and her and I don't get along that well, so it's a process that's not that easy, but I don't know how to do those things, but I'm not trying to say I won't, and maybe I should, but it used to be we learned by seeing because we had our Bibles open and we were looking at the passage and we were underlining things. And so for you millennials out there that are looking for the PowerPoint message, I'm going to buy you a pen and I'm going to get you a Bible and you can open it up and have it in your lap. And then you can learn by seeing. You can see God's word and honest. And this has worked for thousands of years, and now we're coming into an age that, well, you know, you just got to do certain things for me. That no message on a screen can change you like God's word right here. It's this book that you need, and you need to be a student of it. And it's not just Sunday morning for the 20 minutes that I preach. It needs to be on a daily basis of getting into God's word, and this book will change you. This book will cleanse you. This book will turn you into something that God can absolutely use. This book is a pruner in your life that as it works on you, it's an agent that nothing else can duplicate. It's God's word. It's Christ's word. It's not Stan. It's not Scott. It's not Mark. It's God Almighty speaking to us through this book, and it is the most incredible resource that has ever been given to man other than Christ himself. And it's incredible that we get to have it and look at it and use it. Relationships change us. Someone said you'll be the same person you are today down the road if not for the books you read and the people you meet. That's true. You and I being around one another change one another. You can be around people that will pull you down or lift you up. I grew up in a family that my dad was there. He wanted us to grow up and amount to something. I don't know if that's happened or not. But he always had all these sayings. One of them was, "Birds of a feather flock together." You ever hear that? You don't see turkeys and crows hanging out. You know? It's any old dead fish can swim downstream. Okay? It takes a good, lively, strong one to go upstream. And obviously, going against the flow. All of those things that he talked about, but obviously he wanted to know who we were around in school and who our friends were. And back in the day when Levant was a certain size, you knew everybody in town. So Dad didn't have to know the kids I was with because he knew the parents. And that mattered. And if I was hanging out with some kid that Dad knew the parents of, that Dad knew that parent was trouble, then I wasn't around to hang around that kid. Wrong choice, bad friend. We learned very early on who to hang out with and who not to hang out with because relationships will change you. Makes sense, doesn't it? I want you to know that a relationship with Christ changes you, will cleanse you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The key word in that is in Christ. If any man be in Christ, say that with me, in Christ. Okay, John 15:4, if ye abide in me and I in you, abide in me. Say that with me, abide in me. So I'm in Christ. Christ says, abide in me. God's word cleanses us. Our sins are cleansed by the blood of Christ, but our lives are cleansed, sanctified, purified. They are changed by the word of God. That's why it's so important to be into this book. Have it shaping your life. You start talking differently. You start walking or acting differently. While people can take you down, there is never any danger of that with Christ. He always lifts you up. He is never a negative source. Now, the key is this, is I've been pondering this, musing over God's word. The beauty is about this book is if you could just find some time to think about it. And one of the beauties of preaching the gospel is if you have time to think about your message at all, you can ponder some of these things. So I encourage you to go home and just ponder John chapter 15. But in the process of this, of talking about relationships changing you and being around people that can drag you down or lift you up, and we'll be talking more about that tonight in the evening service, the reality of it is that there has to be a desire towards the other for that relationship to be beneficial. For instance, Emily and I have been married for over 14 years now. We're more alike than ever before. And I'm thinking her parents are disappointed in that, but it happens, okay? But the deal is that we're more alike than ever before because we have a desire towards one another. It's not, there's no friction. There's no one trying to get the upper hand. I have a desire to please her, and she has a desire to please me. And in doing so, we try very much to figure out what the other wants and do it. Does that make sense? And I'm telling you, a closer relationship with Christ is the greatest marriage fixer there is. Because if you could just copy what you want to do for Christ with what you want to do for your mate, it's the greatest thing you could do. Because the beauty is with Christ is that in a marriage situation, and I hope I don't lose you on this, in a marriage situation, there's two people, two wills, and you hope the other one is towards the other one. For instance, one of the reasons why we're scared to get into the dating scene when we're single is there's a chance that we will be rejected. And so you work out, will you go out with me? And it took you a long time to get to that, but finally you ask. Because you're so afraid you're going to get shot down. You know? Who are you to think that you'd be around me? You know, we're afraid of all of these things, and none of that stuff is usually true, but, you know, head games, mind games, whatever. So you ask, they say yes, you embark on the relationship, and you try to see if you get along and all of those things. The beauty with Christ is, his answer's yes. Right from the get-go, he wants you. He wants to be with you. So the only part of the equation that's a problem is in Christ. Guess who it is? Me. You. It's not him. And so when we're trying to satisfy one another, Christ's part is done. He's always for us. He's always pulling for us. He always wants to be with us. The only broken part in the equation, he's complete. We are not. It isn't. It breaks down when I compare it to Emily and I because we're two imperfect people, but not with Christ. One part of the equation's perfect. Now the only problem is us. He cleanses us. He changes us. You'll notice someone in Christ, abiding in him, they start to talk different. They start to act different. Why? Because they're becoming more like Christ. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be. Let it be. It's that constant time with Christ, daily walking with him. And he starts to change us. Folks, Christians ought not to be hard to figure out or just a giant guessing game of, is that person really a Christian? 30 minutes around us, people ought to know. It ought not to be a secret. Cleansed by Christ, connected to Christ, courageous with Christ. Verse number 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Who's in charge matters. You know that? Who's in charge matters. We're concerned, I am concerned. We, saying other people like me. I'm concerned who's going to choose the next Supreme Court justices. Because see, who's in charge matters. If terrorists, you know, I'm a head case. I think about different things. It'll never happen. Just a little side note. I digress. In high school, I always dreamed of having the game-winning shot in basketball. And you be careful what you dream for, because I had the game-winning shot in basketball and I missed. So, you know, that's true story. So, the reality of it is that I think about different things. And so let's say if a terrorist attacked the church, who would you rather have in charge, me or Chuck Norris? You know? My son's a huge Chuck Norris fan, Phil, you know? And the guy, he could do the stuff. Some actors, they become actors and learn certain moves. He knew certain moves and then became an actor, you know? So, yeah, I'm for Chuck Norris in that time like that. Who do you want to be around you in times of trouble? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, yes, shall ask what you will. Power in your prayer life. But he says, without me, ye can do nothing. And I'm afraid at times as Christians, we are powerless when that's just not necessary. That's not the case. Who's in charge matters. There's confidence when the right person's in the room. I've felt that at times. You have too. I started flying in the late 80s, early 90s. I think I got my pilot's license in 1992. My instructor, first instructor, was a guy named Gary Chandler. Gary's a great guy, Christian guy. And so you're in the plane, he's in the plane, you got the instructor. I had total confidence in the instructor. I wasn't worried at all, not in the least bit concerned. So every now and then, he'd give me the plane, do certain things. I didn't even really try. He's sitting right there. What could go wrong? And I think he was put out with me at times that, you know, he killed the power to the engine one time while we were over the water. Just see what I'd do, you know? I didn't care. Go ahead. We're going down together. Chances are he'll take care of it. I was not concerned. I was concerned when he got out of the plane, but that was different. Who's in the room matters. Who you're around matters. Without me, you can do nothing. And a lot of times we're trying to do things without Christ. And you know what? The results look like that. On the other hand, with Christ, we could all have that bumper sticker on our car that says, no fear. No fear. Christ is in the room. Christ is in our heart. I grew up like most kids did back in the 60s and 70s. Dad was still in the home. And when Dad was in the house, I was never afraid. Dad was in the home. I could tell you stories that I'll tell you someday. I won't this morning. And I'd want to tell them when they're not being recorded. Not because they're not true, but there's things that just as well the whole world doesn't know. But I had confidence in my dad. People would be bothered by it today in this politically correct society, but you remember, if you're my age or older, when we were growing up, a common conversation out on the playground and growing up was, my dad can take your dad. It was, wasn't it? We talked like that. Now, our dads were never going to fight. But that's how kids were, because kids had confidence in their dad. Now, dad's not even there. Kids don't talk like that anymore. And we wonder why the suicide rate is so high. because the family is falling apart. There's nobody in the home. Sad that kids can't talk like that anymore. And I want you to know that there is no reason to fear. 1 Timothy 1:7 says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I'm telling you, Christians ought to be the most courageous, the most fearless, the most powerful individual you are around, not because of who they are, but because of who's in the room and who's in their heart. Christ gives us courage. Say that with me. Christ gives us courage. No fear. Courageous. Connected. And lastly, and this is where we want to close, and I hope this makes sense. Verse number 10 is out of our text, but in the text, obviously. We stopped at verse 7. But verse 10 says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. My son turns 4 today, one of my sons. Loved that boy. Man. I told my wife yesterday, I never thought in my 50s I'd be looking around at a little kid running around. Life doesn't go like you think it will. But I love him when he's good more than I love him when he's bad. Well, you think it's limitless, you know? One of the problems with having a birthday is the world is their oyster on their birthday, okay? Today, starting yesterday, last night, because we knew today's Sunday and we're busy, we had a little thing for him last night, and he's all excited, and that's great. And today, things are going really well. Well, tomorrow ain't your birthday no more, pal. And the fun's going to be over, and he ain't going to understand. Well, you know what? Your life's going to come to a bend in the road, and it's back to reality. Okay? The world's not your oyster. Grow up, for heaven's sake. Mow the lawn. Do something. My wife says, he's only 4. He's got to start it sometime, you know? Now, give me a second to figure out why I was telling you that. Oh, yes. Okay. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Christ experienced his Father's love because he was perfect. But the connection is here is that we are rewarded according to our obedience. It's the reality of it. We are rewarded according to our obedience. And I talked about it on a Sunday night not long ago, that in Acts 16:31, the Philippian jailer runs out and he's ready to kill himself because he thinks all the prisoners have escaped. And Paul says, do thyself no harm, we're all here. And he hollers, what must I do to be saved? Because he'd heard the singing, he heard the talking, he'd seen the life in Christ, he'd seen their courage, he'd seen their connection, he'd seen their commitment. He'd never seen anything like that before in the Roman army. And he's looking at this and saying, what must I do to be saved? I want what you have. And I hope that happens with us once in our lifetime, that someone looks at us and says, I want what you have. And Paul's response is a verse that we've all memorized. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We're real big on the Savior. Now remember, we're talking about the commands of Christ, following the Lord. And what happens is we want to be saved. I want to be saved. Save me. And so we ask Christ to come in as our Savior. And it was pointed out to me in a book I was reading lately that I hadn't noticed it, that the word Savior is mentioned 24 times in the New Testament. The word Lord used in the term where you're in charge, you are my Lord, as Thomas said, my Lord and my God. 24 times Savior, 433 times Lord. Folks, that's a big difference. And so here we are as a New Testament church. What's our emphasis in the New Testament church? Savior. Do you want to get saved? Do you want to come to Christ? Do you want him to forgive your sins? Do you want a home in heaven? Savior, 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 Savior. Lord, once in a while. And I think somehow we've got the notes turned upside down. We should be talking about the Lordship of Jesus Christ, not so much about the Savior Jesus Christ, because he needs to be our Lord. Did you hear me? He needs to be our Lord. And what we need more with just a closer walk with thee, and we loved that song, is we picture ourselves having that wonderful walk with the Lord. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Those are wonderful songs, and they're not wrong. But on the other hand, while we're wanting that loving fellowship with the Lord, are we willing to obey what he asks us to do? Because see, our blessings from God don't come from our salvation. Our blessings from God come from our obedience to him. To obey is better than sacrifice. God's not looking for us to do the hard things. He's looking for us just to do what we ask. And so what needs to happen as I ask, Lord, I want a closer walk with you. I want that closeness, Lord. Now remember, he's not running away. I'm the one that's running away. He's always been there. He's perfect. I'm not. He's doing his part. I'm not. If I'm not close, it's not because he's leaving. It's because I've left. So the closer walk with him is all on my part. And I think the part is this. If you get nothing else, I'm not a poker player and you shouldn't be either. But you see him sometimes where at the last bet, if you're watching whatever Western it is, and they push all their chips in. I'm going for it all. I think it was Cortez that came to Mexico to conquer the Aztecs. And what did he do when he got there? He burned all the ships so no one could escape. We're all in, boys. We're either conquering the enemy, because there's no other way to go home. If we're going back, we're not going in our ships. We're going in their ships. We're all in. What's the military do when they don't want the enemy to be able to get at them? They blow the bridges. We're all in. You're not coming this way. And I think somewhere, whatever analogy you need to use, whatever decision you want to make, if you want a closer walk with Jesus Christ, it's not for him just to be your Savior. It's for you to say, you are Lord. Say that with me. You are Lord. I'm all in. I'm burning the ships. I'm putting in the chips. I'm blowing the bridges. I'm doing nothing else, Lord. You are Lord. I want a closer walk with you, and nothing else in my life matters. And I could go on and illustrate this over and over, but what happens is we come to the hospital, we meet the Lord, we get saved, we feel better. But I want you to know that just because the heroin addict gets over heroin and they stop doing that, there's so much more they could feel better about. But a lot of times the addict just does the little bit so that they can get back out into society and go on, and they never truly recover. And they're always wishing to go back. The Egyptians, I mean, the Israelites left Egypt and they were never sold out. They're always looking back. And I'll tell you what, if there's some desire that the world has for you, whether it's your pornography guys or sometimes girls, I guess, or whether it's your finances or whether it's your struggle with your wife or your husband or whether it's your desire to be in charge, you know what? You're not in charge anymore. He is. Whatever you want, Lord, I'm in. I'm all in. I'm not holding back. I want a closer walk with you. And from this point on, whatever I think doesn't matter. I want what God wants, and that's abiding in him. And when you do that, oh baby, you're going to see fruit in your life. You're going to see things happening you never dreamed of, did not think possible, because now you've got God's power rather than your own power. His words are in you, not your own words. And when you start praying, things start happening because you're not asking for what you want. You're asking for what God wants. And when you're asking those things, God's answering. You know what, Cornerstone? We need to be all in. It's all done us. All done just a Savior. All done that casual relationship. I want God, and I want Him all, and whatever He wants, that's what I want. And when we get like that, that's when the fun starts. Heavenly Father, I pray that it's our desire to truly have a closer walk with You. And not just the goose pimply great feelings of a wonderful song sung or a poem quoted or a video watched that tickles our senses. I pray that we would want a serious, heartfelt, close relationship based solely on You and nothing else. Lord, we can choose to come towards You, or we can choose to go away from You. But the fact is, You have done Your part. Now it's up to us and our part. My Lord and my God, whatever You want, whatever You say to do,